This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Okay. I think this is funny. From Nevada Sportsnet, Jeff Choate, the head coach of the Nevada Wolfpack, Micah, he says, "We were the worst offense in the Mountain West. And if we're not, we're probably going to a bowl game." Well, if you weren't bad, you'd be good. Right? Isn't that a weird thing to say? Like, we were terrible on offense, but if we weren't, Michael, we would be really good on offense. Reminds me of an old broadcaster. Guy used to broadcast local games, it would say. Their so-and-so team is down 50-0, but if everything was flipped the opposite way, they would be up 50-0.
I remember that well, and I hated that.
Yeah, you can see why that guy's probably not broadcasting much anymore.
Yeah, there was a lot of those blaming the refs after the first quarter, despite the team not doing so well.
I don't know. Is this hitting you wrong like it's hitting my ears? We were the worst offense in the Mountain West, and if we were not... And if we're not, we're probably going to a bowl game.
There probably should have been more context on our defense was great.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, add in the defense.
Well, it probably was, but I like to just take the headlines. And so I retweeted it and said, if you weren't bad, you'd be good. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to have fun, Michael. Chargers' Justin Herbert, is he having any fun day-to-day after left-hand surgery? Man, the medical world has come a long freaking way. He underwent surgery on his fractured left hand Monday. Now, again, it's his left hand. He's considered day-to-day, according to the Chargers, who added that his status for their Week 14 home game against the Philadelphia Eagles will be determined later this week, thanks to Chris Rimm at ESPN. That's going to... I mean, if he can't be, like... Again, it's not your throwing hand, but... That's going to be difficult for Justin Herbert. So we'll see. We'll kind of monitor that one. Speaking of the Eagles, since the Chargers are playing the Eagles this weekend, the New Jersey home of Eagles offensive coordinator Kevin Petullo was vandalized with eggs early Saturday morning, according to the Morristown Police Department. The incident occurred after the Eagles' 24-15 home loss to the Chicago Bears on Friday. Video surfaced on social media, according to ESPN, of multiple people appearing to throw objects at Petullo's home. Online posts suggested it was rocks being thrown, but a Morristown police representative clarified that it was eggs.
They had to be Eagles fans.
Yes. Had to be Eagles fans.
Only Eagles fans would do that.
I mean, he's been under scrutiny, but that's no reason to throw eggs at someone's home. Mike, that stuff's hard to get off. That could ruin paint.
I mean, I wouldn't know, but
You've never thrown eggs at someone's house?
No, that's a waste of food.
Have you ever done that on, like, Halloween? You as a kid never went around and got a little crazy and...
No, the neighborhood I lived in wasn't the best for Halloween.
Yeah. Okay. We're in the circle of trust here. I did it once. There was a kid in our class. He was a new kid. He was, in my defense, it wasn't, we weren't picking on him because he was a new kid. All the girls liked him. He was a good looking dude. But he was kind of a jerk. Kind of.
One of those kids.
Kind of. Like, didn't deserve it. So me and my buddies, you know, we talked about it, and yeah, we did it. My mom was working at the school. She was teaching a different class, but she would hear things throughout the day because that's where all the things go. All the news of the town goes through the school, Mike. My mom found out about it there because somebody ratted us out and told my mom. And that was a rough go. I feel bad about it, man. I feel bad. It was 1 year. It was 1 year.
How did you get punished?
I think she just threw eggs at me until I passed out. No, I don't remember.
You have to go to the barn and hang out with the rats?
I was just in big trouble. It was a bad deal. I think we had to tell the kid that we did it. And, I mean, it was like a few eggs. It wasn't the worst thing in the world. But I regretted it, soon as we were done. I was like, this is awful. I feel like a terrible person. Go Pokes. I'd never, ever egg a house or TP the trees out front. Never, ever, never. Wait. Doesn't say too many never evers in there for me. I'm starting to wonder if maybe you would egg some houses in your time.
When is that time? Is that time now or has that long passed?
Do people still egg houses? I don't think so. Do they? Teachers are the ones that get it. Teachers are the ones that get it because kids typically go egg houses of teachers that are mean to them. They find out. And it's not right. Just saying. Faith says, I'm with Michael. Groceries are too high to be wasting, especially eggs. That could be several omelets, LOL.
Well, haven't eggs gone down because the bird flu's no longer around?
I don't know. I don't buy them. My wife buys them. And I throw them. Well, I did once, but it was a long time ago. Poor guy.
I haven't bought eggs in a while, so I don't know. I just assume they've gone down because there haven't been a lot of bird flu reports in a while.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you for the bird flu report update of the day. Brought to you by...
Eggs.
Oklahoma threw an egg at a passing car. Who knew the window was open and I was such a good shot? That's pretty good. And our house was half a mile from the next one. So pretty obvious. Took me forever to get it cleaned up. That's pretty good. That might be a top Text Tuesday contender right there, Mike. No, I
like the one where Faith agrees with me. That should be top Text Tuesday.
That's pretty good, too. Well, I like Go Pokes throwing in about 14 never evers in there. That totally means he's throwing some eggs. He's tossing some eggs around.
My ego likes itself too much. My ego agrees with the one.
Okay, I got it. I got it the first time. Brady and Michael. I like how the texters are calling you Michael now. Does that feel good that I have legally changed your name pretty much?
I would like my name to be legally changed again to Awesomeness.
You want me to call you Awesomeness? You want people to just call you that?
Yes.
Okay, I thought you were seriously going to say like Star-Lord or... Crow's Nest, I don't know. Brady and Michael, an interesting nugget from last night's game. The last time a player in the NBA had the Joker stat line and lost was in 1957 by Maurice Stokes for the Cincinnati Royals. Really? Didn't CSU dub yesterday's proceedings as a press rally from two guys who should know, Ed Orgeron and Suburban Meyer, John Fortmora or less fun? So are you defending me? Are you defending because people are pissy because I asked a question about rock climbing or whatever? And people were like, I want to push up my glasses. I want to know about the starting quarterback. Who's that going to be and when are you going to know? Well, he's not going to answer it, so I'm not wasting my time.
I will waste
my time asking about other things that don't matter, like how many rocks can you climb? That was important to me. At that moment, yes. Was it the best question in the world? I think so.
For you, yes.
Yeah, for me, it was very good. I'm totally like, that's Jim Mora. And my first question, by the way, Mike, he was cracking up. The crowd was laughing. John Weber was laughing. Yes. I asked a great question. Am I proud of it? Not necessarily. But I asked it. To be fair, I'd ask him on the show. We on this show, we bring guests on. We talk about the sport that they're in, but a lot of times we talk about other things. fun things, interesting things, things that interest me. And I'm interested in humans. I like to know what they're into outside of football. That is that never, I'm sure with you, Mike, you probably literally know everything John Elway does when he's not playing football, when he wasn't playing football. Like, you literally know everything.
He's playing video games at my house right now.
Again, yeah, it's part of the, you know, restraining order. But we all kind of like to know about people and coaches and players, and we like to know what they're into. So forgive me for asking a fluff question, okay? Travis, the new guy. Miguel? What?
Si.
Okay. Faith, dear awesomeness, what is your real name? She yells it, all caps. I never got a serious answer. LOL.
I'm changing my name to The Great One.
No. 16 minutes after the hour. We got Mike Brohard coming up next. He was asking hard-hitting questions yesterday. It's not a hard-hitting affair, okay? Come on. Give me a break. Top Text Tuesday continues. You got a chance to win a $20 gift certificate to Diamond Valley Collectibles. You're doing Christmas shopping anyway. You mean to tell me you're not going to go there, and then you mean to tell me that $20 isn't going to help you out with that list? You're out of your mind. So best text of the day wins. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Michael, let's take a quick break. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Coming up next.
Merry Christmas.
We elves try to stick to the four main food groups. Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
Thanks for making KFKA a part of your diet.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
Twenty-one minutes after the hour. Welcome back. Faith says, Bert it is still, then. She's calling you Bert, Michael. No one knows your real name, and it's and we aim to keep it that way. It's fun. Joining us now on the First Advantage Hotline is Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. We know Mike's name. He's not Michael, he's Mike. Mike, my friend, fun day. Kind of a historic day yesterday with the introduction of Jim Mora as the next head football coach for Colorado State.
It was a fun day. It was an exciting day, and as fate would have it, you know, Warren Jackson was there yesterday.
Yeah, I saw him. A lot of former players there.
Yeah, I saw him. I got to talk to Zach Golditch, Jake Bennett, ran into Joel Dreesen. They're all very excited about it, hopeful about what this means for the direction of the program. Everybody around here is. They look around nationally. I know people have been tracking it. Everybody thinks this is a really great hire for Colorado State. They land a guy that not a lot of people thought they could get or was on the table. And he's a guy whose resume is to build programs and do so almost immediately.
Mike, normally I wouldn't ask this type of question, but because Jim brought it up in the press conference, you know, he said he was interested in this job in 2019. I mean, did you know about that, or was that kind of a shock to you like it was to me and it seemed like a lot of others?
I heard rumors, but you've got to remember. Do you remember the 2019 search?
I do.
That was conducted by Urban Meyer, and Urban Meyer's list was all Urban Meyer guys.
Yeah.
So we basically handed that over, and it didn't go well. And at least now the second time around, Jim Mora kept his interest. I know his family is thrilled to be here, all of them. So I don't know. It's worked out well. Better late than never, right?
Yeah. No, it did. And again, I, you know, hearing so much about Amy Parsons up there, and then obviously John Weber, who has, it just seems like he's getting better and better with this role, with these moves, just the way he handles himself. You've been to a lot of these, Mike, a lot of these opening press conferences, and I've always said, like, not. What's that, Mike?
Are you calling me old?
No. You've been to very few. I mean, but hey, Jim Mora's like in his 60s and he's climbing mountains and all that stuff. So it's, you know, he looks young. He looks fit. You've got the same thing going if you start climbing those mountains, Mike.
Dude looks like he's 35, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, well, that was Kevin. I'm sitting there with Kevin Lytle. And Jim, like, stands up from his seat getting ready to jump up on the stage. And we're both like, dude, he looks like he's jacked. He's ready to go. So, obviously, he keeps himself in shape. But, you know, these press conferences, Mike, these opening press conferences, introductory press conferences, I always say they're pretty tough to lose. Most coaches say the right things. They got the rah-rah stuff, whatever. How did this one compare to some of those press conferences you've been to in the past?
Always base them off of the energy level that you sense is going to be there. Like when we announced Ollie was going to be our head basketball coach, people were excited about that. They thought he was the perfect guy for the job. He got promoted from within. So the energy level really matched that. I think the surprise news that Jim Mora was going to be our coach granted that same kind of luxury to yesterday's festivities. A lot of people showed up that I don't think would have shown up had we named somebody that they didn't believe as much in. So, and the other aspect of it is I thought, you know, Jim did. He won his press conference. He did great because he was really straightforward. He wasn't promising the moon out loud, but he was telling you he's shooting for it. And y'all better be shooting for it. And whoever I bring in here better be shooting for it. It was very interesting throughout the day, multiple times, not just in the press conference. You know, he talked about not putting any limitations, and that means to him limitations on how far this program can rise or how high it can rise and how quickly it can do it.
Mike Brohard joining us, CSURams.com. I also thought it was an interesting note. He mentioned he was going to go back to UConn. I'm guessing he left when he did last night or this morning to go speak to the team face to face, and he brought it up. He's like, you know, just scheduling with how crazy it was, it just didn't work out where I could do that at that moment. So I thought, man, Mike, I got to be honest, I thought that was an even bigger move. The fact that he didn't at first, but then, you know, he's still going to make it right. He's going to, you know, scheduling conflicts, whatever, but he goes back. That could be more difficult than doing it initially when you're still there. So, I mean, that one kind of moved the needle in my brain too.
Okay, you got to understand the semantics of everything that was going on. Because UConn does not play in a conference. They were done before Thanksgiving weekend. So that was part of the reason why you could pull Jim aside the week that we were playing and make that announcement, because they were done. So his team finishes playing. They go out for Thanksgiving break. He doesn't have time to see them. So it was a class move on his part, considering all that happened and knowing that background, that he's making sure he's going out there to say goodbye to his team. Because that is the right thing to do. He just didn't get a chance to do it. Like, I think people look at the fact that most, if you're in a conference, you're playing through Thanksgiving, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your team off. He didn't have that luxury to be able to say goodbye.
No, and that's a great point.
Around, so he really did need to go back and get that done.
Yeah, no, even with that, that's an excellent point, too, with the Thanksgiving week. But going back, like, that can be a little more difficult sometimes, but I really, because he doesn't have to. It's a great move, but I don't know if Rams fans are going to be freaking out because he doesn't. Maybe some would, but the fact that he did go back and do that, I think, again, speaks a lot to his character.
So the way you phrased it was he didn't have to do that, and I guess in some ways you're right. Jim Mora had to do that, and that tells you a little bit about who he is.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's nothing in the contract that says you got to talk to the team and tell them you're leaving, but because not everybody does that. So I thought it was a cool thing, and just, you know, there were some interesting takeaways. You know, the energy was there. It did seem different in the past. Not to say like previous coaches, Jay Norvell didn't have some of that energy, but it was interesting. He had to like stop himself a lot of times. He's like, I could keep going. You could tell that he was just really enamored by the stadium, the surroundings, the support, the former players showing up. You could, and I'm not like trying to just be that cheerleader, but you could really sense that.
Yeah, you can be whatever you want, Brady. It's your radio show.
Thank you.
If you want to be a cheerleader, dress up like a cheerleader, you go right ahead. Don't let anybody stop you.
Wouldn't be the first time.
No. Okay. That you've dressed up like a cheerleader?
Yeah. Well, I've done some things, Mike. I'm not proud of everything.
That's fine. No, I mean, and that's what you want. You want people excited about this hire. And you want people excited about the future because you are going into a brand new conference or rebuilt, re-envisioned Pac-12, as you will. You want to hit the ground running. And Jim Moore has always kind of hit the ground running.
Yeah, it seems like he's going. What's the next plan then, Mike? When does he, like, is he back in Fort Collins tonight? Or do you know that? I'm just curious, like, what that process is like.
I do know that, and so do you. He told you yesterday what his plan was, but I guess you weren't listening.
Well, I heard some things, yeah.
He will be back in Denver tomorrow. He will land in Denver tomorrow morning, and we'll be back up here to oversee whatever happens, because remember, tomorrow's kind of a big day. It's signing day. He'll come back and he'll see what's going on here. He'll talk to recruits. He'll get back, on the phone with guys that have committed. I guarantee you he will know when everybody has signed and who's come in. And it wouldn't surprise me if, unless he's driving his own car on the way up, he's probably on the phone saying, hey, let's go after guys have signed and he's been told that they're signed and they've hit the dotted line and everything's official.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Mike, if I knew everything, I wouldn't need you on the show, right? If I didn't have questions, I wouldn't need you on the program.
I'm just saying, he told you yesterday.
Well, you note these things. You write them down. You got your little reporter notebook thingy there, and you're jotting stuff down, man. I'm a radio guy. I listen to the things that catch my attention.
You asked your question, and that's all you cared about. I get it.
It was a damn good question. People are giving me crap for that, too, Mike. Come on. It's a lighthearted affair, right?
I wasn't taking notes yesterday either. I was just listening and paying attention. And, no, your question was fine, and it gave him a chance to really take a shot at an old friend and tell him he's out of shape and needs to get with it.
See? You know, that's what we try to do sometimes is lighten things up. It doesn't – I'm getting people that are like, oh, softball questions, and it's just a bunch of these, whatever kind of fluff questions. I mean, those introductory press conferences, what are we supposed to do? Like, I mean, you asked some great questions. There were some very necessary questions being asked, but it's not like we're going to get his 100% philosophy. Who's your starting quarterback? Who's your entire coaching staff? He doesn't have that information probably ready at that point. So it always just fascinates me, man. You can't please everybody.
That's fine. I mean, I know a lot of people. I mean, I'm curious who's going to be on his coaching staff, but I think he's got ideas. He's also got to let things play out. People want to know who's going to stay and who's going to go this possibly here at Colorado State. What people forget, and I think we talked about this when Jay was let go, just how many people are affected by this. I mean, you've got a strength and conditioning staff that doesn't know what's next. You've got a football staff and their families who don't know what's next. You have an equipment room that doesn't really know what's next. Now, the training staff, those don't change. They're generally not affected. They know time's going to go on. But you also don't know what players are going to stay, where they're going to go. Jim needs to come back. He needs to talk to some of these guys and gauge where they are. And they need to find out who he is. Now, he met with the team, but he hasn't met with them one-on-one. And it was interesting because when he did meet with the team, he says, all right, does anybody have any questions? And nobody did. And he goes, okay, I know you all have a million questions. We will meet individually and we'll go over everything that you're concerned. Because these guys, you got a roster that doesn't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things up in the air, like with the current roster, with, again, we're seeing on social media guys that were committed to UConn or whatever, or just announcing they're going to enter the portal come January 2nd. We see all that stuff, too. There's a lot to be answered still as we kind of get through this process.
Yeah, I'm sure as you get there. I mean, we saw it when Jay was hired, right? How many guys came over from Nevada, from the recruiting class that he had that decommitted and decided to follow him here? There will probably be some of that. There's already been one that I know of. I've been kind of busy this morning, so I've just been spending my time on Twitter. But, you're gonna look into the transfer portal and you're going to see guys from UConn probably enter in there. Now, some of them might want another place to play. Some of them might want to follow their former coach out. You don't know until you finally get to that window and people can start signing.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. What else kind of stood out to you from that press conference yesterday, or just the process? Because you've obviously been, you know, deeper in this and talking with Jim Mora more than just that introductory press conference. What has kind of been some of those things that stick out to you about him?
What I wrote about for today and what stood out to me ever since his arrival on Sunday night, when he got off the plane, he said, "We're home." He didn't say, "I'm here," or "We're here," or any of that stuff. It was, "We're home." And he and his family really mean it. And that's the thing that struck me, was he was here. Four of his kids were here. He's got a daughter-in-law whose husband's out away on business. She showed up. They didn't have to. Kathy Mora is going to be completely involved with this program. His kids were giddy. I really enjoyed talking to all of them. They are already booking trips to be out here. They've already got friends asking for tickets. This is going to be like the Mora's home base, and they're all over the place, right? So, like, one daughter I talked to, she's out on the East Coast, and another one's on the West Coast, and you've got his sons, and their sons are all over the place, right? This is going to be their home base, and this is going to be, to me, this is a man that very much relies on the strength of his family, and this family is always there for each other, and they are going to be, and to me, that really stood out.
I'll be looking forward to that, Mike. I will check that out, too. Appreciate it, my friend. And we'll look to catch up with you next week.
It's free. No paywall.
I love it. That's even better.
Yeah. All right, Mike, have a lovely day.
No, you have a lovely day.
I'm going to have a lovely week because, you know, the women's basketball team is hot, and they're bringing in Utah this week. And I don't know if you know this, but the men's team is going to play some school from elsewhere in the state on Saturday. And that's already been announced as a sellout. So it's not just football around here. There's a lot of cool stuff.
Mike, I've already got my prediction ready for that game between the men's basketball game. I've already got it ready because that's never a controversial topic.
You don't have a prediction for the Utah-Colorado State women's basketball
game? Just win. Just win. Just score good more than the other team.
All right. So you're taking the Bobby Knight approach.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right.
All right, Mike. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Take care, bud.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Yeah, when I go to these things, like, do I hear everything that is said? No, Michael, I don't. But I do catch on a few things. Now, he did say, Mike, he said this would be his last stop. Do you believe him?
Maybe.
I don't know why, but I kind of do. I mean, what is he, 64 years old? I get the sense that it was kind of like our thing about Mike Gundy. It was like, this might be the last stop, and there will be pressure here, but I don't know. There's the same kind of pressure, I suppose, is all over, because CSU's firing coaches just as fast as some of these bigger programs are. But I just, he could really do something in a fairly short time. And, you know, stay here, even, because he grew up here. He talked about that a lot. That was a big thing. I kind of believe him. But, Mike, like, let's do the extreme here. What if CSU wins the Pac-12? They're the highest ranked G5 or whatever, G6, I don't know. And they get into the playoffs. He wins the Pac-12. They get into the playoffs. Is he getting calls to go somewhere else? Probably, right? He's probably getting calls right after that season.
I mean, not after the first year.
Really? What if they go to the playoffs? Because there's going to be firings next year, too. There's going to be guys going, wow, he flipped UConn. He turned UConn into something. Then he goes to the Pac-12, and he turned CSU into something after, I believe, their worst season, at least since I've been covering this team. That's their worst season.
Give him two successful years. One year could be a fluke.
What if they win a playoff game, which would be against a Power 4 team? Then do you give them a call?
I say still wait 2 years. I mean, you could always have that Tom Brady situation where it's like, is it the coach or is it Tom Brady?
What if they win two playoff games? And there's no Tom Brady that's coming to this team, by the way. it would be all Jim Mora.
Yeah, there was no Tom Brady going to New England, but then Tom Brady was drafted and became Tom Brady.
Go Poke says, Jim Mora replaces Kiffin at LSU, and then Kiffin goes to Wyoming. Yeah. All those things seem pretty reasonable. Let's see. Let's read some texts here, Mike. On the First Advantage text line, I know we got a break soon. Eastside Chris, Brady, I'm having visions of you and new buddy Jim frolicking through the mountains while hiking and riding down the road on a bicycle built for two. If only. All the while, I'm hearing a tune. Let me tell you about my best friend is playing in the background. If he invites me, Mike, if he invites me to go, what is it? Is it hiking or climbing?
I think it's hiking.
Okay. If he invites me to go mountain hiking, do I accept? This is very,
yes, but
very new in the relationship. I don't even know if he's there yet, but we'll see.
If this were to happen,
yeah,
you would have to get him. It has to be a weekly. You have to get him a weekly on your show.
Oh, I don't think that'll happen because we're not a flagship. It just doesn't work that way.
But he can make it happen. He's Brady freaking Hole.
And he's Jim freaking Mora. He can do whatever he wants. You know, maybe.
Let me make some calls.
Yeah, make some calls, Mike.
I'll show some people my lanyard from 2005. Denver Broncos preseason camp.
I think you should start, when you call guests for the show, just start saying, 2005 training camp reporter for KFKA and on the Broncos, Michael, calling in. Can you do that? Change your title?
Yeah, I can do that.
Aaron says, for any introductory press conference, you've got to ask what their high scoring score in bowling is. I should have, but I know he's an outdoorsy guy. He's an outdoorsy guy. I think I used the word outdoorsiness in my first question to Jim Mora. Did I fail? I don't think so. Crowd was going crazy, man. They wanted more. They wanted more of those questions.
They wanted Mora.
Faith says the new show, The Mora You Know. You know you like that.
Oh, I'm actually really proud of her.
You enjoy that, yes. Big Hub says the equipment room is hired by the school, or the equipment staff is hired by the school. I don't know, but that was an interesting note. He did go back to Connecticut. And, you know, Mike, listen, yeah, it's the right thing to do, to go back and talk to your... And that's a great note by him. Because they didn't have conference... They didn't have a championship game or anything like that. They're not in a conference. So they don't play that last week of Thanksgiving. So the players are all home. So he can't really do a whole, like, hey, we're all going to gather around. I'm going to say goodbye. So instead, he's going to come to CSU, at least get a few things in order, make that introductory press conference, and then go back. I think that was a stand-up move. He didn't have to do that. It's the right thing to do. But that was a big one. All right, 42 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Glad you guys could be with us here on The Whole Show, powered by, I said it already, powered by Chevron. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios, Michael.
Is it powered by?
Powered by Chevron is where it's, who it's powered by. Chevron.
I like oil.
Chevron is that. So, well done. How you doing, Mike?
Good.
Do you have that clip I sent you from Chip Roy? Do you have that clip? I want to get into that conversation.
Which one's Chip Roy?
Chip Roy is a congressman guy. Yes.
Oh yeah, I have that.
He is an American attorney and politician serving as the U.S. representative for Texas's 21st congressional district. A member of the Republican Party, Roy took office on January 3rd, 2019. Okay. Well, for some reason, Chip Roy, he was a former college student athlete too. He golfed, I believe. But he is speaking on football.
Golfers aren't athletes.
Did you also get the clip from Texas Tech's head coach too? Did you get that clip?
I did.
Do we have time to go through any of that, or should we wait until the 1 o'clock hour?
I would say wait till the 1 o'clock hour. Yeah, this is a pretty deep topic.
Okay, hey Mike, let's wait. What do you think about waiting until the 1 o'clock hour?
No, we gotta wait till the 1 o'clock hour. This is a pretty deep topic.
Hooligans, should we wait until the 1 o'clock hour? Yeah, let's Let's wait until the 1 o'clock hour. 12:48 the time. We got a Christmas tree out in the lobby. It is awesome. We got a wreath going out here. Mike, it is Christmas time. I want a Christmas song today. One.
No.
I want one.
No.
It's my show. It's not the Michael Star Wars Lord Kirkpatrick show.
My Spotify.
It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
No, no, that is not a Christmas song. I like rock. I like it. That is not a Christmas song.
It's a Christmas song.
It's not a Christmas song.
Merry Xmas.
No, it's Christmas. Don't, no. We don't say Xmas. It's Christmas, okay? No. That is not a Christmas song. Please, take that. Take it down. Especially because you suggested it. You played it. Had that been my suggestion, different story here. But no, that's not a Christmas song.
It's a Christmas song.
I want a traditional, like, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer song. Something cool like that. Tis the season, Michael. And I will not stand for your humbuggery. We will not stand for that this year.
Humbug.
No. Negative Nancy. What are you humbugging about? Your Broncos are killing it. And that's about it. That's what you got going on right now for you, buddy. But it should be a very positive time. And you're still negative. What's it going to take? How many games do the Broncos have to win by a field goal for you to be happy? I figured you'd be through the moon, man. 2 days ago, the Broncos just won in overtime thanks to Nick Bonito knocking down a Marcus Mariota pass. And you're still not happy. I don't know what it's going to take. You're eating peanut butter back there. I see you walking up and down the hall. You should be a happy person.
Extra peanut butter on that sandwich.
Buy or sell coming up. Also, interesting conversations about the future of college football. We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.